Mrs. Franklin D. Roosevelt cordially invites you to take tea with her again today in the Colonial Room of the Park Sheraton Hotel in New York City. 2 weeks ago, the American, British, and French foreign ministers, at their meeting in London, announced a program to bring Germany into the community of free peoples of Europe as rapidly as possible. The Big Three Declaration indicated that final decisions on Western Germany cannot be made until agreements are reached with Russia. Well, today, to discuss America's role in Germany, Mrs. Roosevelt has invited Representative Jacob K. Javits, Republican from New York, the world-renowned journalist Dorothy Thompson, Mr. Telford Taylor, former Brigadier General and Chief of Counsel at the Nuremberg War Crimes Trials, Senator Guy M. Gillette, Democrat from Iowa. Before we join Mrs. Roosevelt and her guests, here are the latest news bulletins on Whit Sunday in Berlin. NBC's Henry Cassidy has just reported to the NBC newsroom that the Communist Youth Parade has been completed peacefully, without violence. Rainy weather cut the paraders to 350,000 by the estimate of Western observers who watched the parade and who agreed that the Communists put on a good show but nothing like what they had claimed. Up to this moment, which is approximately 9 o'clock in Berlin, there has been no shooting and no riots. And now, here is Mrs. Roosevelt.
Thank you, Ben Grauer. I'm very happy today to have the opportunity of welcoming you here, Lord Douglas. I know that you spent quite a long while in Germany, and perhaps you will have a special interest in the subject of our program.
Yes, I certainly shall.
That's very kind of you to come. And now I'm very happy to welcome you, Countess Metzambra, and to ask you, since I know that you've lived in the United States and lately have traveled around the world in the interests of your business, but also because you're interested in better international understanding. What is your feeling that we can do to better understanding?
Well, I think that really the best thing would be to bring together the youth of both our countries. As a matter of fact, much more than they are. I would like the American young ones to go to France every year, if possible, and the French young ones to come to America. Because I consider America like my second country. I love America, and I love Americans. And I would like all the French people to know Americans as well as I do. Then they would love America as well as I do.
That's certainly very nice to hear, and I'm glad to tell you that one of my granddaughters is going to spend a month in a French family this summer.
Well, that's just what I wanted.
I must move. And how do you do, Lady Douglas? I'm so happy that you could come.
That's very kind of you.
And now, Senator, it's a great pleasure to introduce you to this audience and greet you.
Well, thank you, Ms. Roosevelt.
You have just introduced a resolution in the Senate which really leads into our program today, and I would like to ask you, what is the motive that lies back of that resolution?
Well, Ms. Roosevelt, I'm particularly happy that you asked me that question at the outset. The resolution was introduced by seven of my colleagues and myself, and there's been some misunderstanding as to its purpose. Certainly, there is no purpose behind it of trying to emphasize a concerted idea of the way we should proceed in Germany. As a matter of fact, I do not believe that any two members who co-sponsored the resolution are in agreement. But we are very anxious that the people whom we represent or trying to represent down in Washington should be informed as to what is actually taking place in Germany. We find tremendous confusion and tremendous concern and misunderstanding, and it is our hope that through the resolution A commission may be appointed by the president, and the commission can make an independent survey and report to the president, and through the president to the Congress, and then to the people.
That, I think, is very interesting. Now, Senator, if you come with me, I'm going to take you over to these experts. How to do, Mr. Taylor? Senator, will you sit there? How to do, Ms. Thompson? How to do, Mr. Javits? I'm so glad to see you. And now, Senator, we have three experts here, and I understand they have varying ideas on what has happened and is happening in Germany. So I'm going to begin by asking Ms. Thompson to tell us, Ms. Dorothy Thompson, to tell us something of what is in her mind on this subject.
Well, first of all, Mrs. Roosevelt, please don't call me an expert, and least of all an expert on Germany. I am a lifelong student of Germany who know enough about it, who knows enough about it to know that I am not an expert, and I'm extremely dubious about anybody who thinks he is. Now, as I see it, Senator, we make the mistake of putting Germany in the forefront. The problem is not Germany. The first problem is Europe. Here is a great culture, a great civilization, that for most of its existence through the centuries had a high degree of unity as a result of the divisions in this great civilization. The divisions which began growing up after the French Revolution and became very much worse after World War I, of 20-odd or more sovereign states with separate armies and separate defense systems and separate currencies, living in categories. We have had two wars in a generation. And all the great European spirits have known, not the politicians, but the men of imagination and vision, that Europe must unite or perish. And now it has come to the point where it must unite or perish. And the problem is how to make a new Europe. Not a new Germany, a new Europe. You can't make a new Europe without Germany. And you can't save any kind of Germany without Europe. And if we would keep that in the forefront, instead of this concentration upon a country which is now truncated, divided, occupied by four conquerors, all to greater or less degree, quarreling among themselves, in the center of a Cold War, if we could keep in mind that there has to be a third force created in the world, and that force has to be Europe, well, then I think we get somewhere. I think we're looking at the thing from the wrong angle.
Well, now, that's very interesting, and I think to have you, Mr. Taylor, say a little what is in your mind, because you had long experience in Germany.
Well, but experience doesn't make one an expert, as Ms. Thompson has very accurately pointed out.
Mr. Taylor.
I quite agree with Ms. Thompson's basic approach that this is a European problem rather than purely a German problem. But I think we mustn't overlook the fact that truncated and divided as Germany is, the Ruhr is in Germany, and there are some 45 million people in the Western zone. And the economic potential and the political explosive possibilities of Germany seem to me to make it the major item in the European problem, which indeed we must approach as a European problem, but we've got to look at these important parts. I think primarily two things are outstanding at the moment. I think that the recent French proposal for a coal steel pool is both a great opportunity and a risk, and I would favor a venturesome enough policy to take the risk and try to seize the opportunity, which I think is highly necessary. But in doing that, I think we must avoid, at all costs, giving Germany, and indeed Europe, the impression that we want German support and German favor at all costs. Because I think if we do that, we will speedily find ourselves dividing Europe instead of making this force that Ms. Thompson talks about. And while I quite agree that we must build up Western Europe, I'm not sure that I like the phrase a third force. I hope that whether it's first, second, third, or fourth, it will be a force on the side of democracy.
That's a very important point, I think. And now we have with us two, Representative Javits, who has introduced a resolution in the House similar to the one introduced in the Senate by Senator Gillette. So perhaps he would tell us what he hopes for from the resolution.
I hope, Ms. Roosevelt, that the resolution will pass, that a presidential commission will be appointed, and that its main purpose will be to alert the American people, both by completely informing them, which I think is extremely important, and emphasizing the critical importance of the question to just what's going on in Germany and what we ought to do about it. For taking off from where Miss Thompson stopped, and again, I also don't want to be identified as an expert. I'm a legislator conscientiously working on what I consider to be the focal question in the Cold War. I think it's not only a European question, it's certainly not alone a German question, it's a world question, because the issue in Germany will, in my view, decide the issue of international peace and security or not. For though the Soviet Union has expanded materially in the East, and very designedly, I'm sure, the fact is that it's Germany that has the technical and production resources which round out the raw material resources of the Soviet Union, both in men and in materials such as minerals and other things which are in and on the ground. And so I believe that despite what the men in the Kremlin would desire the world to believe, Germany is still their prime objective. Now, within that frame of reference, it seems to me that American policy ought to be directed on three principles. First, that we should not condone what has been done. And that isn't so important as to the Germans. It's very important as to the Europeans, just as Miss Thompson says. This is a European question. So that we can't condone what's been done. Second, that we've got to bring to Germany instruction, ideas, which he didn't have in all the years under Hitler, when there was really an Iron Curtain on Germany. And that's what we're doing in our effort to orient the German people insofar as we can in the ways of democracy. And third, we've got to work for the Federation of Europe, which is the ultimate sanction for a peaceful, productive, and constructive Germany.
Now I'd like to ask you, Mr. Taylor, whether you think we've been successful in denazifying Germany.
Why, Mrs. Roosevelt, I'm afraid that my answer to that would have to be emphatically no. I regard the denazification program as a most unfortunate failure in most of its important respects. For that, there are a number of reasons, and we could go into that, but I'm inclined to think that it's more important now that we face the facts rather than examine into that failure. I think while it's most important that we see Germany in the light of present-day conditions, that we mustn't try to see Germany as it isn't, that gets into the realm of wishful thinking. And I think it's important to realize that denazification hasn't been a process which has radically changed the underlying frame of mind in Germany. I don't, however, go from there along with some people who want to start up and do the whole thing over again, because I don't think that's the way to deal with it now at all. And it seems to me that from now on, in that particular field, it's most important that we have adequate publicity about the problem, which I think Senator Gillette's resolution offers an excellent opportunity to procure, and that is the most effective thing that we can do now, instead of starting up again with all the administrative machinery and all the delicate problems which made the problem very difficult to solve before.
Senator, have you any question you'd like to ask these various people?
Well, Mrs. Roosevelt, there are no particular question that I want to ask at this time. But I should like to take advantage of your kindness to comment just a bit further on the resolution and the motivation behind it. It certainly was not intended as congressional investigations in so many instances are intended, to set up a congressional committee with the attendant publicity and investigate the executive department. We were careful, we were meticulous in providing in this resolution not a committee of the Congress to make an investigation of executive department, but to ask the president to set up a commission, a bipartisan commission that could make an independent survey, give a different perspective, and give us the advantage of that additional information. Secretary Acheson recently, I think was in San Francisco, emphasized the need for total diplomacy. You can't have total diplomacy without being informed. Our people, as I said, are confused and disturbed, and tremendously so. Of the hundreds and hundreds of letters we get, they say, what is the American policy in Germany? There are four outstanding suggested policies. One is the former Morgenthau proposal that Germany be reduced to an agricultural state. Then there's the school of thought that want to rearm it and establish it with full control of all its functions as a buffer state. Then there's a third group, and Ms. Thompson has just referred to that, who want to make it a part of a European federation or a Western European federation. There's a fourth group who wish to make it part of an Atlantic federation. A Western Europe federation would not include Canada or the United States. Our people, we in a democracy, are trying through our agencies in Washington, our people's agencies, to crystallize the thinking and reach a determination. We can't do it without information. We haven't received the information, I am convinced, and it's in the hope that we can have that additional information that we are really hoping very, very strongly that the resolution will be approved and a commission appointed.
Well, Ms. Thompson, tell me, do you think that there has been enough dismantling in Germany, and do you think that they should there should be a rearmament of Germany?
Well, as for dismantling, I think there's been too much dismantling in Germany. I think the vision. I wish people who talk about dismantling would go and see it, Mrs. Roosevelt. I'd like to take Mr. Bevan by the scruff of the neck and make him stand in a factory and see it done. I think that 5 years after a war, if greater lies can't think of anything better to do than smash factories to bits, they remind me of children, of a little child who goes out, stumbles around, and of course we've been stumbling around, Senator. When you say we have four policies, we have at least four. We haven't got any policy, because we never started with any reference to any principles whatsoever. And that's why we're in the horrible mess we're in. But this dismantling reminds me of the child who's stumbling around in a room, knocks against a table, and then kicks the table. Kicks the table. Now, you don't re-educate people or denazify them, and above all, you don't do it to workers, by knocking the tools from out from under their heads.
Well, that really
the object is to find a way to use the German energy, to use the German potential, to use the German undoubted genius for industrial organization for the welfare of the world. And we break it up because we don't know what the welfare of the world is, Mrs. Roosevelt.
But you wouldn't rearm.
My dear Mrs. Roosevelt, I would like to disarm everybody on the globe, as far as I am concerned. You can just include me in. But I do not think in the long run you can disarm one people unless you create, of course, may I interrupt myself to say, I do not wish to see the creation of a sovereign German state. I wish to see a Europe with one defense system, and I don't think, may I say, that the Federation of Europe excludes a larger federation of the Atlantic community. But you have to bring order into some of the parts before you can bring order into the whole. Now, I would like to see a Europe with one defense system, with one foreign policy, with one currency, and a customs union.
That's going a long ways. Do you think
what's
that's
not going so far? Once existed in Europe for centuries, Mrs. Roosevelt, it existed. This division of Europe is a brand new modern idea, and a very bad one, if I may say so.
Miss Thompson, I don't think that we ought to forget about Germany while we look at this great vision of the future, which will be the unification of Europe and the North Atlantic community, which I'm very much for. But Germany is very present, very much with us, and I hope very much that the Soviet Union will not be possessing Germany before we reach this ultimate goal. I'd like to say a word about this man. I think that any general asked about whether he liked to be on the battlefield and see men shout up would say, certainly not. That's the most horrible thing I ever saw. But that's not what it's all about. The point is that some wars have to be fought, such as the one against Hitler. And so it is with dismantling. That isn't quite as hot as Miss Thompson cooked it. We're not going around smashing machines.
Yes, we are.
Well, now,
Mr. Davidson,
just a second, please.
Me.
I've got to try to straighten you out on the facts, if you'll just let me.
Saw it done with my
we
own eyes.
We don't smash machines. We dismantle machinery for the purpose, and please, for the purpose of transporting it to other countries which have not been the aggressive menace to the world the Germans have been. No, just
Mr.
let Javits, me finish.
Name
just
seven factories and tell me where they are. I tried in Europe for 3 months to find out where these factories are.
Ms.
Now,
Thompson,
if you can tell me, Mr.
Javits,
I'll
will
be
give
very
you a
grateful.
Book of 154 factories, not seven, in the chemical field, in the artificial rubber field, in the steel industry, and I'll tell you exactly where they've been put. This is you mustn't assume that the great powers are children. We have dismantled.
I do assume so. Look at the mess
wrong.
They've got the world
You're
in.
Quite wrong. You're
I
quite
find
wrong.
That they are. Now, I'm going to switch to the general who should know. Are there any advantages to dismantling?
Well, you kind of put me on the spot there by saying that I should know, Mrs. Russell. That's a burden that I am ill-fitted to carry. I regret a little bit to see the conversation get so focused on dismantling because I feel a bit about that the way I do about denazification. I don't think we can start that particular policy up over again now. However, when we come to this question about rearmament and European Atlantic Pact and all that, I think it would be a very good thing to have Germany join the Council of Europe. I think Germany should be encouraged to join any organizations that are primarily non-military in character, because I don't think that these sicknesses, if you will, that are in Germany can be cured in the isolation ward. I think the more contact we have, the better. But I don't by any means go on from there to conclude that we should bring her into the Atlantic Pact or encourage rearmament. I think that would be a most unfortunate blunder for at least two very immediate reasons. To begin with, the trouble with the rearmament of Western Europe at the moment isn't a lack of manpower. There are men. The trouble is an economic basis that is not powerful or sound enough to support rearmament, and the trouble is lack of arms and implements of war. And it will not help at this time on either of those scores to start rearming Germany. Secondly, as a political matter, I think it's absurd to talk at this time about rearming Germany until we have built up a modicum of strength in the other countries in Europe. Otherwise, we will have this dividing factor that we've seen so often before.
And we'd scare all the Europeans.
Quite.
Wouldn't we?
I quite agree, yes.
I'd like to say a word about denazification. Just one word, if I may. The idea of denazification, we must understand, is not to reorient the German mind as much as it is to make the Germans understand that there is some kind of justice other than Hitlerian justice. And you don't have to be vindictive in order to subscribe to that idea.
That I'm sorry to tell you means, Senator, I hope you have got something from this discussion to encourage you in the future. But it means we have to draw this discussion to a close in very few minutes. And so I am going to ask, before we close, whether you will say anything that you particularly want to know before we finish.
Well, Mrs. Roosevelt, the discussion that was just had between Miss Thompson and the congressman emphasizes the very difficulty that we are trying to eliminate through the medium of this resolution. The dispute as to what the actual conditions are, Miss Thompson, who is conversant with them, insists that they are thus and so. The congressman, who is also familiar, insists that they're thus and so. Our people want to know. Miss Thompson suggested that we have no foreign policy, or it's difficult to determine what it is. And that is true. It is true because we have no constitutional method of developing a foreign policy. And too often our State Department has taken a position. It's unnecessary for the people to know. It's unnecessary for Congress to know. Papa knows best. Just leave it to Papa, and Papa will handle it. On the other hand, our people, through their Congress, have a constitutional responsibility in the matter of the foreign relationships and the determination of the policies. And in order to get facts to enable us to perform our function, we have introduced the resolution. And I'm encouraged to believe, in the discussion today, that the resolution is going to receive more support than the general here and others have anticipated.
Well, I'm
I hope you're right.
Very much interested in this discussion. I am reminded of the fact that when I was a little girl, I used to see the German officer in full regalia pushing people off the sidewalks. And I'm hoping that day is never going to come
back. Well, the Germans don't want to rearm. That is the outstanding and interesting thing that I can say positively about Germany. They, at this moment, I don't know what they want to do next week, but they don't want to be remembered.
I hope that lasts. I think that that is really something that should be encouraged. And I agree that perhaps denazification has not been as well accomplished as it should for many reasons. But a people have to live. And I think that now we must go on from here. I'm sorry that this program has to come to a close and that it means that we will not again be on the air till early October. I want to thank you, Miss Thompson, for coming on today, and all you gentlemen for participating. I think it's most kind of you, and it does mean a great deal of interest to the people who have been so kind in writing me many letters. You in the audience have really helped us to make this program worthwhile, and I hope you will continue to come back to us. And now I must say goodbye, and I want to go over here and thank Mr. Neil Lang, the manager of this hotel, who has done so much to make our program successful, and all of your staff have been just wonderful.
Thank you, Mrs. Roosevelt. The staff has considered it a privilege to help you in the presentation of this wonderful show. And it's gratifying to know that we have contributed in some small way to its success. We hope you'll come back.
That's very kind of you. I hope we will. Now I want to say a word to thank my own staff and to thank the staff of NBC, Mr. Rogers, Mr. Mills, Mr. Ben Grauer, and the crews of cameramen and technicians who have been simply wonderful in their patience with all of us who I feel very much of an amateur, and I feel that they have had to deal with many things which sometimes must have been trying. And now, one final word to our audience. We thank you again for being with us. We hope you will keep on with your interest and that you will be thinking about the problems of the day. And as you think, will let us know through the summer what you'd like to have us come back with when we come back on the 1st of October. Thank you and goodbye.
May we say our warm thanks to you, Mrs. Roosevelt, speaking for the NB staff and our colleagues. You know how much we've enjoyed our participation in the presentation of your programs and how eagerly we look forward to our return to this interesting and challenging assignment. Friends, you've been one of the welcome guests on this, the 16th, of Mrs. Roosevelt's Sunday afternoon teas in the Colonial Room of the Park Sheraton Hotel in New York City. You've been listening today to a discussion of America's role in Germany with Mrs. Roosevelt, where her guests, the world-renowned journalist Dorothy Thompson, Mr. Telford Taylor, former Brigadier General and Chief of Counsel of the War Crimes Trials at Nuremberg, Senator Guy M. Gillette, Democrat from Iowa, and Representative Jacob K. Javits, Republican from New York. Today's program was on the subject, as we say, of American policy or America's role in Germany. And we had the pleasure also of greeting earlier, before the discussion started, the guests of Mrs. Roosevelt, Lord and Lady Douglas of Kirtleside, and Countess Mazobrin of France. I noticed, incidentally, in our group, the charming young lady, Mrs. Curtis Dahl, the just recently married granddaughter-in-law of Mrs. Roosevelt. Our programs will resume on Sunday, the 1st of October. Mrs. Roosevelt will resume these informal discussions to bring before you the facts and arguments on subjects of national and international interest. Do join us then, October 1st. Till then, we bid you...
See television.